T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
2 down, 2 to go. Welcome into our third hour here of Sports Talk. Bobby and Christian. Mark Menard at Master Control. He's not rocking his usual visor that he typically rolls in here with. You got it with you, Mark? Okay. Oh, he's got the beanie going on. Okay. All right, coming up in about 10 minutes, Dr. Eddie O'Connor, certified mental performance consultant and member of the Association of Applied Sport Psychology. How can Saints players and fans get over the no-call in NOLA? Saints fans really don't want to get over it. They don't want to be told, at least, that they have to get over it.
Yeah, well, the players got to get over it. The fans, no, they can get over it when they damn well please. I mean, everybody says, oh, get over it. No, sorry, I'm not ready to get over it. But a player... obviously, in the future, you have to get over it. Now, you compartmentalize, the situation. That's how you truly get over extreme disappointment, that you got to live on to fight another day. And Drew Brees and Sean Payton, wherever, they're going to do that. But when Sean Payton made a statement, I think he was speaking from the heart. Not when he said they blew the call, should have never have not been a call. It's when he said, addressing the media, that the Saints. And I think he was talking really individually right then, but I think more to fan base, that we'll probably never get over it. Because this is going to be talk about when Sean Payton's an old man. Sean Payton's a few years younger than me.
He's in
his 50s. I'm telling you, it'd be 30 years from now. Sean Payton will be a 80-year-old, if he lives that long or whatever, and people be talking about what happened in the Rams game to go to the Super Bowl.
How often is the Tuck rule still talked about?
Still talked about. So 2 decades later, still talked about. Exactly, basically, that's what you're dealing with, almost 2 decades. Now, I thought this was kind of comical, and I it has some merit, Chris. I wanted to bring it up. This is from 0731. The Saints play the NFC West the upcoming season, and the Saints got to play the Rams in L.A. He says, because there's going to be...
That'll be a primetime game of some kind.
Monday night, Thursday night, whatever. I wouldn't say Thursday because of the travel. I could see more Monday. Or Sunday night, Monday night. But, there's going to be a lot of Who Dat Nation members that will show up in Los Angeles, and this fan says that all fans need to wear a referee shirt. Dark glasses. No, you don't think they're going to put you on TV?
Sure they would.
If a number of fans, all of a sudden, Saints are playing the Rams, and the Who Dat Nation, the colors they're wearing is a referee shirt with dark glasses. No, I think that would be awesome.
That's another instance of
why, Bobby,
attention. This whole no-call highlights conversation, it's not going away, because – it's going to be brought up again that week that the Saints are playing the Rams in Los Angeles. You'll see the highlight. You'll hear the highlight. You'll hear the conversation. The players and the coaches are going to be asked all about it on both sides. I mean, that's how massive that no call will turn out to be. Big D, what's going on, Big D? You're on WWL.
Man, I will never, ever get over. You know what I'm going to get over this, Bobby?
When,
I'm going to get over this. When you see my name in the obituary, when you see Big D,
he's going to
be over it then. Or I can get over it when Roger Goodell hang up his hat and quit his finagling like he did the other day. I don't care what who say. I'm telling you, there was some dealings going on. For him to send the refs from L.A. to New Orleans, come on.
Big D.
A blind man could see what the hell happened now.
Big D.
Come on, man. Let me ask you, hold on,
Big D.
Hold on, brother. I'm slipping.
I know. Just sit tight. I'm going to give you a 20
minutes. Y'all can tell I'm slipping.
Hey, you think changing the commissioner is really going to is really going to change the league. We should be focused on the owners. The owners. Roger Goodell is a bullet catcher.
Let me ask you this. Did Roger Goodell say anything yet?
Well, he's not my commissioner.
Well, I'm going to tell you why.
You know who that nation's commissioner? Paul Tagliabue.
Yes.
The Saints, that Nation will always embrace Paul Tagliabue. So there can be a difference. Paul Tagliabue was a big reason why the Saints stayed in New Orleans. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but I'm talking about changes to where he's going to speak or not speak, or changes in the officiating, things like it's out of the commissioner's hands. I mean, all he is a mouthpiece for 32 owners. That's all he is.
Pete Rozelle was a good Saints commissioner. Getting with Boggs and all to get a team in New Orleans. You know, with dealing with Congress and antitrust. So we've had two damn good commissioners that's been the friends of the Saints.
Go ahead, being Pete Rozelle
and Paul Tagliabue, but not Roger Goodell. Come on, Bounty Gate.
Look. I think I'm pretty familiar with football to where I can see, even at the high school level. When they play a playoff in the South, the referees come from Central Louisiana or North Louisiana to do the games in South Louisiana and vice versa. Now, at the high level of the NFL, you will tell me that Roger Goodell is going to put together a team of officials from L.A. to come officiate the game.
It's Al Riveron that did that.
The Saints?
It's not Roger Goodell that assembled that officiating crew. It's Al Riveron. He's the head of officials.
No, and Roger Goodell needs to fire that cat, Al Riveron.
I agree with that.
Yeah, he got to go.
Because he's ultimately what? Just like Sean Payton, he's ultimately accountable.
Yes.
If he's the head guy, then he's ultimately accountable. We're stepping away, coming back. Thanks for the phone call, Big D. We're talking to Dr. Eddie O'Connor, certified mental performance consultant, next here on WWL. Tonight at 8 with Seth Dunlap on the last lap, try to move past the Nola no call. We'll look at the Saints offseason and how many decisions that lie ahead. All that and more coming your way tonight at 8 o'clock with Seth Dunlap. Waiting on Dr. Eddie O'Connor to join us here shortly. He's a certified mental performance consultant and member of the Association for Applied Sports Psychology. We got him on the line with us right now. Dr. Eddie O'Connor, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
Hey, look, it's taken this fan base. They're still not over this, not even close, this no call. What are some coping mechanisms? What are some ways that – I know the stages of grief and all that stuff, but how can folks move on a little bit?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I would say not to move on. I know that people want to really do that, and that's the thing is how do we feel better and how do we get over? But I think, honestly, it's too early. It's obviously, we know the stats. We know what happened. We know it was a bad call and all these other things. But the idea that we should actually feel okay about it, I take the opposite stance. I think everybody needs time to mourn and recognize that something terrible has happened, feel sad about it, and eventually it'll heal. But I think you can move on too quickly, honestly.
Now, from a player's perspective, is that the same? Would that be the same approach?
I would say certainly for the Saints, because now that it's over and their season is over, they can take their time and process it. If it was a bad call or it was a regular season game, for example, then they'd have to take more of the 24 hours and realize that they have to move on and there's more to do. But they can certainly for themselves have more patience with this as well. Again, given the gravity of what had happened, you really want to respect the seriousness of it and not go on too fast. In the same way that if somebody died, you wouldn't be saying the next day, okay, let's go over, get over and move on. And
right.
I think people can feel the pain to that extreme.
Now, Dr. O'Connor, when you look at team sports versus individual sports, and you look at sports psychology, how old is that something that's come about like the last 30 years, 40 years? Because it just seems like the concept that when you're dealing with individuals or individuals who play a team sport, but let's say you're a professional tennis player, it's a lot different than playing on a football team. A quarterback, yes, very important because – the responsibility you have, but just break that down, how far you've come, maybe, and where this all started to really deal with something, because we all love sports. United States is just a way of life.
Yeah. Well, in general, I'd say the field of sports psychology, fortunately, has become less stigmatized, right? It's been around for many, many decades, and it's really within the last 10 or 20 that people are understanding exactly what it is, that it's not just for athletes that are broken or sick or that there's something that's wrong. in fact, that it's actually a science that has a performance-enhancing quality all to itself, that it's much more on par with something like nutrition and other medical interventions. So being that more teams are recognizing that and getting more sports psychologists involved in their teams in a proactive way, even for mental health issues, I think is fantastic. And then the difference between individuals and team sports, of course, there are differences, there are different dynamics. But at the same time, there is a mental toughness quality, the ability to be better and more consistent than your opponents and remaining determined, focused, confident, and in control under pressure that apply not only to all sports, individual or team, but actually all to all performance domains, whether you're a performing artist or you are in the Army or you're an executive. We all have to perform under pressure.
Now, Dr. O'Connor, when you look at performing under pressure, is it like, obviously, more acceptable, let's say, with the millennial athlete? You talk about this the past decade or the past couple of decades, where from the get-go, if they have an opportunity to be on the big stage, to have a double-digit career versus an older player, maybe who said, I don't know how this is going to help. Or do you have older players maybe that never dealt with this at a young age, but they could use your help or anyone dealing with sports psychology in, on the latter part of their career?
Yeah, you know, you have a lot of questions in there, and I think the one that would stand out the most to me about that would be what I end up seeing the most in sort of the developmental, and whether it's millennials or whether this was always the case, I'm not sure, but is how everything has to be earned. I think that sometimes with the participation medals, that old argument about is it good right. or is it bad, I think that very recently there's a lot more entitlement and that people should just make it. At the same time, there's also a lot more training for athletes, and I think that that's in some ways unfortunate. Kids early on are no longer having the free play and being able to you know, have a little bit more ability to develop their skills and play with the ball and learn about their bodies without actually being instructed and not being able to think and explore and experiment. And then as they get more successful, as they go on, then there's some of the entitlement that goes on, especially for the athletes that have been treated special because they have an extra talent that they actually can not succeed at the highest level. Take the first round draft picks, for example. You would think the best athletes, they should have the best careers, and so many of them fail
right.
because they've been entitled or they haven't really learned to work hard yet. It's those sixth round draft picks, it's the ones that are undrafted and make the team that have been busting their butt from the very beginning that know what it takes when they get to the game's highest level, how hard they have to work, because they've been developing that specific skill since they were young.
Dr. Eddie O'Connor, certified mental performance consultant and member of the Association for Applied Sports Psychology. Eddie, before we let you run, anything we didn't ask you that you want to point out?
Just that my heartfelt condolences to the city, you know, and that I'll be rooting for the Saints in my heart during the offseason as well.
Appreciate it, Doc.
All right, take care.
All right, Gene in New Orleans. What's going on, Gene? You're on WWL.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, Gene.
Yeah, hey, Bobby Love. I called and talked to you a few times, man.
Gene, we're having a hard time hearing from. We're having a hard time hearing you. If we're on like a Bluetooth or anything like that, can you just?
Yeah, I'm about to cut this off.
All right.
You can hear me better, fella?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
All right, hey man. Like I said, I call every now and then, but just give me a minute to say a few things. I got a question at the end. First and foremost, I told my wife we was at the Philly game. And the only reason I didn't go to this game because my son challenged me to a hamburger contest, and I had stayed home and beat him. I told my wife when that call happened, I said, "Babe, we couldn't have been in the stadium at that point because we probably would have started a riot." And I'm not sure what the charge is that you get from starting a riot, but it would have happened. It would have happened, I promise. Secondly, we're not bitter towards no team in the NFL, and when you guys come across other fans who you know, say we cry babies or we this or we that,
right.
or we have you, that's not our issue. That was not a blown call, and I'm begging you guys, please, I'm asking you as a man to say it the proper way. It was not a blown call. You understand what I'm saying? It was a call that the referee, for whatever reason, decided not to make. We feel the way we feel because we don't know the reason behind it. We saw it happen, but we don't know the reason behind it. And that's what the Who Dat fan is feeling. I got a friend that's a Dallas fan. We talk noise. I had to tell him this week. I said, "Look, dude, if you want to talk noise to me about the game, y'all rightfully won, go ahead, dude. Just have at it."
Right.
Sean Payton said it best, and this is why I respect Sean Payton as a man. I know Sean Payton have ego, but most coaches have ego.
Right.
I have no issue with that. I have no issue with his personal life or what have you. I respect Sean Payton as a man because he said it blatantly, just like the call was blatantly not made. He said no team. That includes Atlanta. That includes Dallas. That includes all the teams who have something to say about this. No team should lose that week. No team. And I'm going to tell you this too, Bobby. And it's another point I want to make to you. Not only that I hated it to lose that way, I'm speaking because I played ball. I still lace up and play with my son. I'm 40 years old. As much as I hate to lose that way, I would hate it the same to win that way. I don't want it.
Right.
Nothing given to me.
Amen.
In this league,
Amen.
All those guys have a start date when they start working. At the end of the game, regardless if you win by fluke, keyword, fluke.
Right.
You understand? If the ball slipped out Drew hand, or vice versa with the Rams or whatever, I could take that. But when you took the game out of the player's hands, it became a serious problem, and that's what the Who That Nation is dealing with.
The thing about what happened.
Great call, Gene.
The thing what happened, Gene, the Eagles game. Man, we were all nervous. Man, they driving. Nick Foles, come on.
Yep.
He's made some plays that bring him back. When all of a sudden, what that happened with players, it goes through Jeffrey's hands, Lattimore intercepts it. There wasn't no official involved in that.
Right.
You know, so that, I think as a fan base, you could say, like, damn, you know, what happened against Minneapolis Miracle?
You can live with that.
Yeah.
Well, Sucked, but you can live with it.
It's like, how can we let that happen? As a player, Marcus Williams is too good for that to happen. But the way this went down, no, it's just wrong. I mean, you can't sugarcoat it.
CBS and local news headlines, back to your calls next here on WWL. Hanging out with a man who buys Scotch tape in bulk, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. We ought to go into
I will not tape your mouth, though, Christian.
Well, Scotch tape wouldn't work. Duct tape would.
You put enough of it if you got it in bulk, huh?
That's true. That's true.
You got to get that high-quality scissor also.
Okay, so what are the essentials for your notes?
The trifecta, the big three, is highlighters, Scotch tape, and great pair of scissors. I got to work. You know, I've actually gotten stopped in security, you know.
In airports?
Like, going to, you know, West Virginia, whatever, and like, oh, well, you know, they have taken my scissors away.
Did you cry?
No, I just went, you can buy scissors at Walmart anywhere. So
I just didn't know if you grew attached to those scissors. Or
no, I don't have any special scissors on. I'm not that janky.
And explain the color coding again, so...
No, it's just like you might have one particular game, like if you're going blue and yellow and then or pink or whatever, it might be like names is a certain color.
Right.
And just a broad statement could be another color. And then really an impactful play that you cannot ignore and this has to be addressed would be another color. So, yeah, it's usually three colors.
Okay. The anatomy of Bobby's notebook.
Yeah, so it's like old school. It's been working for me, Chris, since 1998. I don't know, what's that, 21 years?
Yeah. Hey.
So, I mean, I don't.
Go with whatever your routine. Don't deviate from your routine, that's for sure.
No, I wouldn't need a sports psychologist if I deviated from my routine. I am one that routine, you know, set in stone. Creature of habits,
uh-huh.
Like Drew Brees,
uh-huh.
Is a creature of habits. How you get ready for a game? You know, okay, I do this time, I do this. No, and sometimes it can't always be that way because you know you have to be able to adjust. But you got to have a routine.
I agree. Kioka, what's going on? Oh, I punched up the wrong person. Hold on, I'm bad at my job. Fat fingers. All right, now we got Kioka. What's going on, Kioka? You're on WWL.
Good evening, Christian and Tommy.
Bobby.
Hey, no, you call me Tommy. I like that, yeah.
I'm sorry, Bobby.
No, I like Tommy
in the morning. Yeah, man, a blind man would be able to see if he would touch the fountain of youth if he would have seen that call. Those refs are just blatantly disgusting. And on top of that, Roger Goodell has no morals, no character, and no dignity. How can you be the NFL commissioner and not address this situation.
Well, the only thing I can tell you, Keoki, is that why he's not addressed yet. He's trying to dot the I's and cross the T's, covering his behind from a legal perspective.
Rehearsals.
Yeah, rehearsals. Okay, what's going to occur in the press conference? They got some of the top lawyers in the whole country. Okay, what if they ask you this? How are you going to address? What if no, they definitely go over all of that where you might think is kind of robotic. But the bottom line is how, if you know, you can ask a very simple question. And you say, Mr. Goodell, that how could that call be missed? You know, we all follow football. We all grew up with football. That even a Pop Warner official would have made that call. I like to see what he would say then. I'm not talking about high school, right. College, NFL, supposed to be all-star, best of the best. A Pop Warner official.
My 7-year-old son could make that call. He's watched enough football.
7-year-old son, right, even a casual football fan says, well, I don't think he's supposed to hit him before the ball gets there.
Right.
Huh?
No, that's why it's
no in real time. I'm not talking about slow mo not talking about real time. It was that obvious.
Thanks for the phone call, Keoka. Coming back for your calls as well. Got Jenny, Debbie, Ron, Renee, Gus, and Covington, and Ron on the North Shore. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Tomorrow, hang out with Zach and Deuce. The fans and the pros join our resident pros, Saints play-by-play man. And 12-year Saints offensive lineman Zach Schrieff and Saints color analyst and all-time leading rusher Deuce McAllister for the fans and the pros tomorrow at 4 p.m. on WWLAMFM.com. Phone lines are open. I got 1-504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Do you believe Sean Payton and Drew Brees can recreate another magical run? That's our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll
online
for you.
Okay, but what's a magical run to you, Christian?
I'm talking about a similar season like this. I mean, we talked about it earlier.
See, to me, playoffs, hell yeah, without a doubt. I'd be extremely disappointed if they're not a playoff team. I don't care if it's wild card.
Right.
You're like, oh, we got to win the NFC South. I don't know. It's hard to do. All I know is playoffs, hell yeah. For sure, they're not, I don't know, maybe you win on the road. You know what's crazy? I had this, I got to look this in my notes again. Christian, and, you know, saving this.
Highlighted in pink or blue or green? Or
The last decade. Now, that's a big sample size. You know who's the best road team in the NFC the last decade?
The Saints.
What? Now, in the NFL, England's number one. New England's number one. The Patriots. Steelers are number two, but the Saints are number three on the road. So I just feel... we even look at 2011. That could have been a magical season. We became the new greatest show on turf. You look at the 49ers. We'd have had to win there at San Francisco. Now we'd get maybe the NFC Championship would unfolded because the Giants upset the Packers. Then we all know last year that I was on the road. What happened against the Vikings? So that's why I think now. To say, oh, we're going to be angry and we're going back to because what happened this year to Super Bowl? No, the NFL is too good. You're still going to have breaks, the ball bounce your way and all that. But we're not going to have no damn Falcon 6-10 season. No, then you got to hold the organization's feet to the fire because you can't. Listen, no matter what happened and how disappointed you are, you cannot fall that much off the map.
When I think about special seasons, I think of championship games, Super Bowl. That's what I mean. And it's so difficult to do. And you need breaks.
I agree.
You need breaks. You need things to go your way. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. The results. Do you believe Sean Payton and Drew Brees can recreate another magical run? 73% of those voting online say yes. 27% saying no. Jenny in Metairie on line 5. What's going on, Jenny? You're on Sports Talk on WWL.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi. I just want to say this, and then I'm going to listen to you guys afterward. I strongly believe that this all started with that comment that mayor from Atlanta, that she said. I think it played a big part in the Saints being robbed because I think there was discussion with the owners, Arthur Blank. And I know that if the Saints would have went into their Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that would have been an embarrassment to their city.
But Jenny, think about this. Okay, we all love the Saints. We did not want to see the damn Falcons in the Super Bowl when it was the 49ers and Ravens. And do you know, in that game, Atlanta, I want to say they were winning like 17-0. And the 49ers came back and beat them. They were in control of that game. We did not want to see Atlanta there.
Okay, but this is my point.
Because the mayor didn't say nothing.
When we played Atlanta in Atlanta, those fans were so vicious and so mean. I just feel like if they felt like if we would have went back in that stadium, Arthur Blank, he can't fill that stadium right now. When we went there, that stadium, it wasn't built.
So, Jenny, you're all in on a conspiracy. You're all in on a conspiracy.
That's not a conspiracy. I was at that game.
No. I'm talking about that because of the mayor's comments.
That the Saints not in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because
so you're
the
all
mayor
in. You're basically all in on a.
Yeah, a lot of his fans threatened, said we're not going to buy a new season ticket. Yes, I do think that. I think it has a part to do with it. I do think that. Yes, I do. I think it has a lot to do with it because it didn't just go viral here. It went all over that we don't want New Orleans in Atlanta. And they missed it.
I think that was just exactly what it was, which is an Atlanta mayor talking trash to the Saints. Just like, of course, they hate the Saints as much as the Saints hate the Falcons.
But that's all a rivalry. I mean, it'd be like, that on any level. But it's kind of in fun. It's in jest. You're not like a diehard serious. Come on. You can't.
I don't think
some
a comment
fans
from
might
the mayor.
Be. I don't know. But to me, it's all. Because when you look at the Super Bowl anyway, It's a corporate event. Nobody's okay. Let's say the Saints are playing the Patriots. Look how many true Saints fans could truly have the resources or get a ticket to go to the game. You have people who go to Super Bowls that they go to the Super Bowl. They don't go to anything else. It's not a true fan friendly, common man fan friendly game. Like when you look at the NFC Championship, hell yeah, it still was expensive, but that's a fan-friendly environment. Patriots-Chiefs, that's a fan-friendly environment. It don't matter if they're playing in Atlanta or wherever they play in the Super Bowl. We can have the Super Bowl 2024. Look at all people coming in from out of town. It's a corporate event. It's not a true blue-collar football game anymore.
Well said, Bobby. Thanks for the phone call, Jenny. Renee, Andrew, Debbie. Ron on the North Shore and Gus in Covington. Bobby and Christian here on Sports Talk on Saints Radio.
Now, Christian, now you could come to the city and party
right. And
hang out and tailgate. That doesn't mean you're going to the game. Yeah, but you can have that atmosphere going in on your behalf.
We'll pick it up on the other side of this break. Back here on Sports Talk. Sometimes the show outside of the show is pretty fun as well in between breaks. Renee in Algiers. What's going on, Renee? You're on WWL.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Renee.
Hey, Bobby. I didn't get to see you in 400 points or slightly. I work in your building, so let me ask you this here.
Okay.
What is your take on the officials who obviously did not call the no call? But it's my understanding, I've tried to look back, and I was there at the game. I was in section 109, complete opposite end, almost opposite end of the end zone. Stevie Wonder could have seen Stevie Wonder could have seen that. Nonetheless, I've tried to replay it. Of course, it's available on the internet. But it's my understanding that it almost looks like the official right in front of Tommy Lee almost pulled the flag, but another official ran up to him and tried to, it almost seems that he tried to convince him not to put the flag because he knew what the repercussions were. What has, and again, I think Goodall's silence speaks volumes, and I know you already discussed that. It's
right.
A very robotic thing. He's right now, he's lowering up, as we call it.
But the problem, Renee, okay, hold your point. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. You know, when you work with someone and you're familiar and you have some continuity where, you know how you would maybe respond or you work well together. Here you have an all-star crew that has not worked together throughout the season and they're unfamiliar with one another. So it's a bunch of the top officials but they don't want to step on each other's toes. How many times you've watched the game and it seems like it's coming out from left field, center field, all over, there'll be like a play and you see three flags flying from all over. Well, that's why, to me, the NFL has to address this, where you have to have crews that are competent, obviously, but are familiar with one another, so they don't feel like they're stepping on anyone's toes or hurting somebody's ego, because you got to get it right. You just got to get it right. It's better to maybe humble someone and check their ego, say like, okay, that's my call. Well, no, if you missed that call, I'm trying to help you out, because we all going to be affected by this. We got to get this right.
Bobby, it's similar to you and I have done countless shows together. You got to be, it's not, if somebody else is in here filling in, it's not as, the nonverbals.
The ebb and flow.
The nonverbals, you and I know them. Hey, I know what you, when you're about to say something or what have you.
Exactly.
And that exists in an environment like officiating games. If you don't have that continuity, and the league's they're sacrificing that continuity by piecemealing these all-star teams. One line judge from one crew that crew overall didn't grade out well, but he did, so he gets to call a playoff game.
What did we say at the beginning of this year when the Rams were all in? They were putting their roster together. That didn't necessarily always work, because in the past, when you put all-star teams together, they don't necessarily play as a team. They don't function as one, right?
Look at the Eagles, the Dream Team Eagles under Andy Reid.
Right, they have their own agenda. Now, you know why the Rams are successful? Until we beat them in the regular season. Weren't they undefeated? They were all in. You know why? When you win, then that's like, man, like, because when you're not winning, they'd be like, man, I know I'm doing my job. I don't know what the hell you're doing. I know I can play. But then when you win, they tend to come together. Who came together as an all-star outstanding player, and they got what they paid for in the postseason? Adamakin Sue. They paid Adamakin Sue $14 million 1 year. That's not what they got. He didn't sign up for that in the regular season. But you know what? When they came against the Cowgirls and the Saints, Adamakin Sue came to play. So when you look at that,
they basically paid him $14 million for a playoff run.
To get to the playoff run. That's exactly what it looked like. Now, with that being said, whether it's a Pro Bowl or whatever, all-star officiating crew, that they might be good individually, but when you're trying to call a game in the ebb and flow, you got to be able to communicate and work together. And they were dysfunctional in the Saints-Rams game, obviously, on that call.
If you're on hold, sit tight. You guys will lead off next hour. Talking a little LSU basketball as well with Billy Embody. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.